You can be seated. What a mighty presence of the Lord is in this place. Amen. Gentlemen, I want to reiterate one of our announcements. Do not miss, if at all possible, be here Saturday, the 27th, this Saturday. It's coming Saturday. Be here at 9 o'clock. We're going to have some fellowship in the youth sanctuary. We're going to have a good Bible study. You're really going to enjoy it, so come out, be a part of it. If you know somebody that's maybe you've been witnessing to them, or the Lord has opened a door into their life, this will be a great day for you to invite them to be with you. It's not going to be a church service, it'll be a fellowship service. They'll enjoy it, and the Lord can use that in their life. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, where I'm going to begin. Thank you, singers and musicians. We shall always appreciate all that you do to help us to come into the presence of the Lord. Amen. And Peter says in verse 1 of the first of his letters, verse 6, chapter 1, wherein ye greatly rejoice. You're good, thank you. Now, there's a lot of punctuation in these four verses, and so you've got to really follow the punctuation to know the subject and the topic and everything. That's, you got to kind of follow the thread. So let's look at this. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. In other words, Peter says, even though for a season you may be in heaviness because of these many trials, many temptations, he says, but you greatly rejoice that the trial of your faith, verse 7, this is why we rejoice. We're not rejoicing because we're in temptation. We're rejoicing because the trial of our faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. What's more precious than gold? Your faith. Gold perishes. Even though it's a precious metal and it lasts a long time and it lasts through the elements, he says, your faith is more precious than of gold, though it be tried with fire. Gold may be tried with fire, but it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What may be? Your faith. Your faith. Everybody say, my faith. That it may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, now we're talking about Jesus, whom, having not seen, you love. We could easily say you still love. Even though you have not seen him, you still love him. In whom? In who? In whom? Who are we talking about? In whom? Though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. That means the product of your faith, the fruition of your faith, the outcome of your faith, even, here it is, the salvation of your souls. Do you believe that everything that the Lord allows you to go through is somehow or another attributed and related to the salvation of your soul? Even the trying of your faith, the testing of your faith, the manifold temptations, that they are for the receiving the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. You believe that? Say amen. It's been said that Joseph's life can be summed up by three words. I believe it to be true. Those three words are dreams, dungeons, and diadems or crowns. Dreams, dungeons, and diadems. His youth was one of dreams and visions that one day he would rule, and his brethren, in fact, his entire family would bow to him, and that dream that God had placed in his mind, it got down into his heart, and then it began to come out of his mouth, and this powerful force called faith was born in Joseph. But between the dreams and the diadem. In other words, between the vision of ruling and actually receiving a crown of leadership, his life would be filled with pits of betrayal and Potiphar's house of slavery and bars of prison. In other words, Joseph did not go straight from the pillow of dreams to the palace of diadems. First, he would endure the pain of the dungeon. And sadly, but truly, it's in those dungeons, it's in the dungeon experiences where dreams are apt to die, vision is apt to vanish, faith is apt to fail. It's amazing, but in the dungeon experiences, either things begin to really flourish or they begin to just shrivel up. Any one of these trials that I mentioned that Joseph has faced in his life, any one of them carried with it the potential of a knockout punch. Any of them in and of themselves could have been the one very thing that would have caused Joseph to throw his hands in the air and just simply cry, "I quit. I don't understand this. I give up. I thought it would be, but maybe it's." Have you ever had one of those maybe moments? Maybe I didn't understand. Maybe it wasn't God. Maybe it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And that's why Jesus, upon his announcement to Peter that he was facing, Peter was facing Satan's sifter. Remember it? Jesus looked across the table at that Last Supper and said, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Jesus would encourage Peter by these words, "But I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith faileth not." Joseph simply refused to become a statistical failure. In fact, through every trial, he held on to his faith until finally he was, in reality, the most powerful man in the world and was the source of salvation for his people. In the scriptures, there is practically no effort really made to define faith, interestingly. Outside of a brief 14 or 15 word definition in Hebrews 11:1, there are really no biblical definitions given. And even there, faith is defined functionally and not philosophically. That is, it is a statement of what faith is in operation, not what it is in essence. It assumes the presence of faith and it shows what it results in rather than what it is. And I believe that we are wise really to go just that far and attempt to go no further. We are told from whence it comes and by what means. The Bible says that faith is a gift of God. And the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This much is clear. And to paraphrase a famous author, he said, "I had rather exercise faith than to know the definition thereof." I like that. It's almost as though the Bible takes the approach to faith as it would to eyesight. We really don't have to define eyesight because we're just born with it. It's just there. It's just innate. And so it's almost as though the Bible talks about what faith does, what it can accomplish, the functionality of faith, but it doesn't try to define faith because it's just a given. God gives us a measure of faith. Every one of us are born with the ability, unless we're born blind, of course, but most all of us are born with the ability to see. We open our eyes and we begin to take in the world. We may not understand everything that we see, but as we grow and we learn and we begin to ascertain, we begin to mature, we figure out what those objects are, what colors are, what shapes are, how to put things together, how these things operate in our brain. Our brain begins to compute them. It dissects them, puts them together. We reason through our eyesight. But nobody has to define for you what it means to see, what it means to smell, what it means to feel, what it means to hear. It's just there. You with me? Remember a few weeks ago we taught and preached about in the Old Testament where the children of Israel were were failing God and they had sinned, and the Lord sent the fiery serpents. Remember that? They began to bite the people, and everybody bitten with the serpent began to die. And the Bible says that Moses sought the Lord for them, the Lord heard Moses and gave him the remedy against the bite of the serpent. And he commanded Moses to make a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole in sight of all the people. And the Bible says, and the Lord said, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, everybody say looketh upon it, when he looketh upon it shall live. Moses obeyed, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, the Bible says, he lived. In the New Testament, this important bit of history is interpreted for us by no less an authority, by the way, than Jesus Christ himself. He is explaining to his hearers how they may be saved. He tells them that it is by believing. And then to make it clear, he refers to this incident in the book of Numbers. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, he said, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Here's my point now, and now stay with me. Notice that look and believe were synonymous terms. Looking on the Old Testament serpent is identical with believing on the New Testament Christ. That is, the looking and the believing are the same thing. And so we understand that while Israel looked with external eyes, believing is done with the heart. We could say it this way, that faith is the gaze of a soul upon a saving God. In the book of Psalms, we read in 84, verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them who passing through the valley of Baca. The valley of Baca, B-A-C-A, it's a dry place. It's a desert land. There is no water there. And the psalmist says that blessed is the one whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of them who, when they pass through this dry desert place, they make it a well. They turn it into a well. They transcend it from what it is into what it should be. They make it a well. The rain would come and fill the pools. They go, the Bible says, from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. Another translation says it this way, they will continue to grow stronger. When you're in a dry place, instead of succumbing, they make it a well. Instead of complaining, they make it a well. Instead of blaming other people for their circumstances, they make it a well. Can I say this? Life really is what you make of it. I'll say it another way. Life really is what you are able to see. In any given circumstance, in any given situation, we're told when we're little, well, if life gives you lemons, make lemonade. But I'm going to apply the standard of faith to that statement. I'm going to tell you, you don't even have to settle for making lemonade. If life gives you lemons, make your own lemonade stand and sell a bunch and make a bunch of money. Or open your own lemonade company and own the whole lemonade. Corner the market on lemonade. If life gives you lemon, why not just go ahead and say, God, if this is what you've given me, I'm going to see it through the eyes of faith. I will not succumb to my circumstances. I'm going to make the best of my situation. I'm going to believe upon you. I'll gaze upon you with my heart. I'll see it through the eyes of faith. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Don't just make lemonade enough for you to drink for a few days and die. Go ahead and make a lemonade stand and then make your own lemonade factory. Why not? Somebody had to think of lemon concentrate, didn't they? I remember my wife and I just mentioned to her this morning. I said, do you remember When we first became the pastor, officially became the pastor, one of our first things we wanted to do was to do a cleaning day. We just had some things. We wanted to get some things cleaned out and organized. We hadn't been pastor very long at all. Maybe a week or two or a month, I don't know. Wasn't very long. We called the cleaning day on a Saturday, and that night before or the morning of, whichever, we had a kind of some weather like we've been having. It kind of blew in. It got cold. It got icy. It got snowy. And I remember we made our way down here to the church. She and I, new pastor's wife, we only had Tyler and Jordan at the time. We brought our boys down here. I remember standing over, we didn't have this building back then, we only had what's now the youth sanctuary. I remember standing over there, Brother Southern, and standing over there by those double doors and looking out the window and saying, Lord, please let somebody else show up. If 5 minutes till, nobody was here, time of, nobody's here, 5 minutes out, I'm saying, well, Lord, let somebody show up. It wasn't that I just needed more help, I just wanted to know somebody was with us, you know. I knew that they'd voted us in way back when as co-pastor, and then whenever Brother Axum resigned, I automatically became the pastor. We were voted in unanimously. I've said it before, I think all 12 of them wanted us. All 12 voters voted us in. But now it's time, we need you to show up. We need to know you're on our side. We need to know that you're with us. And I remember looking out that window and just becoming, I mean, every minute that passed by, and every snowflake that fell, the devil was in my ear. Yeah, they voted you in, but they're not with you. Nobody going to show up to help you. And I stood there for a few minutes and I had enough of that. I remember looking out that window that just said, nobody's going to pull in. Nobody, you know, I could very easily begin to, oh no, woe is me. And I could have looked at my wife. We were young. I could have said, well, you know, we got other things we can do on a Saturday night. We could go out to eat. I could have looked at her and said, you know, we don't need this. They don't want to show up to clean. That started to get in my spirit. I could have looked at her and said a bunch of things, but I just looked at her and she looked at me and said, well, we got a list of things we want to get done. Let's get to it. So we gave our boys some chores to do, and she and I grabbed some rags and we started wiping and cleaning and sweeping and cleaning out and organizing, and we did whatever we could do that night. We got quite a bit done that night, but the Lord showed up to me that night and helped me to realize that just because people don't get out on a snowy night, most of the people that we were pastoring at that time they either had little kids they didn't want to get out with, or they were older, they didn't want to get out in that weather. I didn't think about that at first, but the Lord began to speak to my spirit and say, you're going to have to learn you're going to have to decide how you're going to view things. Because the way you look at things will determine your spirit. You can get bitter or you can get better. You can look at things and become discouraged and downhearted, and that's the way people get bitter. They didn't just wake up one day and say, I think I'll just be a bitter person. Something happened, an incident occurred, and they looked at it through the wrong vision. They got negative. This is the way bitterness comes in. You take one single incident and you look at it through the goggles of negativity, and you start telling yourself the bad story. Nobody likes me. Nobody's on my side. Ain't nobody gonna show up to help us. Ain't nobody with us. I'm telling you right now, we call a cleaning day. I could call a cleaning day tomorrow and tomorrow night, and I know I would have about 50 or 60 people show up at least. If I can tell, I can call it in 24 hours, because it wasn't that they weren't with us, they just couldn't get there that night. I know, because I've seen it happen when we've had a flood and I get on the phone and say, we need some help, and people just show up with shovels and leaf blowers and wheelbarrows and dig in. I've seen people, one-legged man in this church, work as hard as anybody to show up. But the devil tried to tell me, you ain't going to amount to anything in Ellisville. Nobody's on your side. The devil's a liar. I came to tell somebody, you need to look at your life through the eyes of faith. Stop looking through negativity. Stop getting down on everybody. Stop getting down on life. God is on your side. He loves you more than you'll ever know. Oh, come on and clap your hands to the Lord. I'm so glad I didn't decide to get bitter that night. I'm so glad I didn't get up the next pulpit time and gripe at everybody for not showing up. It would have been so easy to do. Run all 12 of them, the ones that were there, off, you know. The Lord felt that way sometimes. In fact, he said, I'll wipe them all out and start over. But my wife and I learned that we had good people. We just, and I've always tried to look at through the eyes of faith. There were times, man, I wish we could have a choir, but we didn't have enough people to have a choir. So there were times back when we first started pastoring, we were fortunate to find one or two people that would, you know, come up and just lead songs. We had one song leader. I remember, Lord, it'd be nice to have a bass player. We didn't have bass guitar. I remember, you know, just, Lord, it'd be nice to have more music than just a piano and organ and drums, and if the drummer was there, you know, if the drummer showed up. And there was just times we just didn't know what was going to happen with the music, but we didn't sit around just pouting about what we didn't have. We did the best with what we had. I've learned to do this. Do the best with what you have. Look at it through the eyes of faith. Don't plan your services like you've only got 12 people. Plan them like you got 1,200 people. I've never prepared my sermons as though I'm only going to be preaching to a handful. I always prepared my sermons like I was going to be preaching to 5 or 50 or 500 or 5,000 or 5 million. I just apply myself and try to get a word from the Lord. I don't know who's going to show up, but whoever shows up, I'm going to hear from the Lord. I just made up my mind a long time ago. I wasn't going to look through the eyes of doubt and discouragement. I was going to look through the eyes of faith. They will continue to grow stronger. When you're in a dry place, instead of succumbing, make it a well. Instead of complaining, make it a well. Instead of blaming others, make it a well. Life is what you make it. It's what you see. In other words, if you're Samson and you look around and you're facing 1,000 of the enemy and all you see is a jawbone, what are you going to do? Let me tell you what separates the victims from the victors is what you see in the jawbone. Have you ever thought about the significance of the jawbone? Jawbone's where we use it to speak. I'm using my jawbone right now. My mouth has to open. My gums have to flap. My jaws have to release and contract in order to speak. And the Bible says in Proverbs 18:21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's what we say that determines, am I going to live? Am I going to die? Am I going to speak life or am I going to speak death? Have you ever thought about what would happen if Samson had looked at that jawbone? It was a jawbone. It was a bone. It was part of a skeleton. It screamed. It reeked of death and defeat and loss and hopelessness. What separates the victims from the victors is the people that are able to look at hopeless situations, dry situations, situations that connote and scream and reek of death and say, you know what? If God laid that in my path for such a time as this, I'm just going to pick it up and I'm going to do the best with whatever I've got. And if all God has given me is the jawbone, did you know the jawbone of a donkey makes a pretty good weapon in the hand of a man who is anointed by the power of God? He can take it and kill 1,000 enemy single-handed with just the jawbone. It didn't look like much. When I looked at it, I couldn't see much, but I began to look at it through the eyes of faith. And I know that my God did not bring me here to let me die on this battlefield. So you got to learn to pick up whatever God lays in your path and go to work and use it and fight and keep on believing. I'm going to tell you, there will be times it will feel like there's only one of you and all God's given you is a jawbone of a donkey. You wish you had an army. God, there's 1,000 Philistines. Could you at least give me a gang of 10, you know? Nope, just you and your wife tonight. Get your boys busy. Clean the church. All right. Make the best of it. Clean what you can. Do what you can. Lord, I'd like to have big old choir. Well, you just got a couple singers. Teach them to sing. Teach them to play. Teach them to do the best you can. Watch it grow. Amen. I remember, Brother Gunderman, when my wife and I would want to take a trip, get away, I'd have to call somebody from another church to come and help us. Come and help us preach. Lord, we need some help. God begin to send good help. I look around. I can't even look and not find good help sitting amongst us right now. good, strong, godly men and women. Faithful, loyal. Wow, I appreciate that. But I had to be careful not to get bitter. I looked at other preachers, man, Lord, they got help. They got people there. They're with them. They're good, strong, capable. And I could have got bitter. We didn't get bitter, did we, Cindy? No. I remember there were times when my wife and I would come to church, have church, and we wanted to go out to eat with somebody. And we'd go over to Brother Beecham's church and wait on them to get done with church so that Brother Schaefer, he's the only friend I had in the world, he'd get out of church, he'd go eat with us. Nobody else could tolerate me except my wife and Brother Schaefer. And that's not true anymore. I mean, I was kidding about the tolerating part, I think, but if I wanted to have a table full of people to go fellowship with right now, I could invite just about anybody. You know, it's just, we've come, I'm telling you, what we started with and where we are. We did not despise the day of small beginnings. There's a trick there. There really is. It's a key. That's Bible, by the way. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. If you get bitter and despise, I only have this. This is all God's given me. This is all I have. You'll never progress to God's best for you. Amen. The significance of the jawbone is what you speak matters. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Victims will always see death in a jawbone. Victors will always see life. Victims will always see hopelessness, dead stuff. But victors will see life, hope. They'll turn it into a weapon and see their victory come. If you're David and all you have is a slingshot, did you ever think about this? David never complained about his slingshot. Now, he didn't wave it around like, you know, he's proud of it. Look at me. He never bragged on his slingshot either. It was just the tool that God gave him. He bragged on his God, but not his weapon. He looked at a slingshot and he saw a giant killing machine. In fact, David did better when all he had at his disposal really was a slingshot and some rocks in his pocket. We never see him, think about this, we never see him slinging stones at good men. Until years later, when he has an army at his disposal. Now, you got to keep things right in the days of small beginnings, but you got to make sure you keep it right all the way through. Joseph, you got to keep the right attitude in the pit, but you got to keep the right attitude when you're in the palace too. David did pretty good with just a slingshot and some stones. He handled himself correctly with even when Saul was trying to kill him. Even when David had the opportunity to kill Saul in the middle of the night while Saul is sleeping, he doesn't kill him. He doesn't kill his men because Saul's the king. And in David's heart, he's just going to do the right thing. He did not sling stones at anybody but the enemy. But then years later now, he has armies at his disposal. Armies at his command. He is then responsible for murdering Uriah the Hittite to cover up his affair with Uriah's wife. In fact, I think it could be argued that David did better when he was walking in the valley with a slingshot than when he was walking on the roof of the palace commanding an army. And it's not what you have as much as what you make of it. I've seen men, women with very little do a whole lot of good. And I've seen men and women with a whole lot do a whole lot of bad. It really is what you do with it. I'm talking about jawbones, slingshots and such. Those things that God just lays in your path. And you choose. You choose. Everybody say, I choose. It's your choice what you do with them. If you're David, you look at the slingshot and you say, I'm going to choose to do good. I'm going to get some stones and I'm going to go kill the giant if God gives me the opportunity. And I won't brag on myself. I won't brag on my slingshot. In fact, even when I cut off the giant's head, I'm going to brag on the Lord. If it had not been for the Lord. If you're Paul and Silas, and you're thrown into prison after you've had your back beaten for no other reason than just serving God, doing right, doing good. If you're Paul and Silas and your back is aching and bleeding and you're sitting there looking at prison bars along with common criminals all around you. If you're Paul and Silas thrown into prison, you make it a worship service. You turn jail into church. Come on. I can moan or I can sing. They both sound kind of similar sometimes. That's why a lot of our songs are written anymore, aren't they? A lot of our Christian songs. So turn the ohs into I'm going to worship you, Lord. It's time to praise. But you just got your back beat. No, you don't understand. I'm walking through the valley of Baca, but I'm going to make it a well. You don't understand the God I serve. No, if I didn't have the Lord on my side, I'd moan, I'd groan along with you. But I've got the Lord on my side. Sister Carolyn Wall is in Bell Trace right now for therapy. She needs our prayers, by the way. She's probably watching right now. We say hello to her. God bless her. I just spoke to her before the service, actually. But I tried to call her a day or two ago, and I got her voicemail. And I said, call me back. Let me know a good time to reach you when you're not in therapy. And so she called and got my voicemail. And her voicemail moved me. She said, sorry I missed your call. I was resting. I was sleeping. She said, call me back anytime. She said, I need prayer. And this is what stuck with me. She said, I don't understand it, but I know God's got a reason. Man, that preached to me. I don't understand this, but I know God's got a reason. You ever been there? I've been there. I don't understand, but I know God's got a reason. I don't understand, but I know he's given me a way of escape. He will, with the temptation, give you a way of escape. Strength to strength. Everything is to make me stronger. So if you're Joseph, you don't hate your brethren. You know what Joseph did? In the pit, we never see him cry out angrily at his brethren. He doesn't call them names. And at Potiphar's house, Joseph is dragged into Egypt as a slave, wrongfully, and put to work as a slave. We never hear him tout his dreams and visions, and you don't understand who you're dealing with. God's given me a dream. I'm not supposed to serve. I'm supposed to be served, you know. I don't bow to anybody. You bow to me. He doesn't do that. Joseph's life's kind of like this. Okay, wherever I am. Now, he had some youthful folly. I'll give you that. I think sometimes he bragged a little too much about his dreams and visions and didn't handle them wisely, but who's to say? I don't know. That's also faith. You speak it, you know. But he made his brethren mad. And so, this is his life. Oh, I'm getting thrown into a pit. I'm going to hang on to my dream. I'm getting taken down to Egypt. I don't understand it, but God's got a reason. Thank you, Sister Carolyn, for that. I don't understand it, but God's got a reason. I'm in Egypt now. I'm getting thrown into this man by the name of Potiphar's house. Everywhere you see Joseph go, he lived his life and did the best that he could. I've worked with people who are incarcerated. I've worked with them. I mean professionally worked with them. I ran the kitchen in a juvenile correctional facility where the boys who were there incarcerated had to work in the kitchen. We called them KPs. And we had a term in the DOC called slow walking. Slow walking is just exactly what it sounds like. It's just when somebody, they're doing it because they got to do it, but they're not going to do it well. They're going to wash dishes. They're going to take their time getting to the sink. And they're going to take their time running the water. And they're going to take their time putting in the soap. And, you know, I want to go home at 8 o'clock. You ain't slow walking me, you know. And they'd slow walk over here and they'd slow walk. And you could tell they're doing it. Their heart wasn't in it. I get it. I understand. But man, you'd have other kids come in there, Brother Southern. Just like, man, I'm just glad to get out of sitting in there watching TV on. I'm glad to be in. Give me some pots to wash, you know. And they would just do their best. And they enjoyed it. Some of them whistle when they work and laugh and tell jokes and cut up. That was Joseph. Joseph just, wherever I am, maybe I'm not supposed to be here. One commonality among most incarcerated people is they're not supposed to be there. Joseph really was not supposed to be there. But if I'm in Potiphar's house, you know what he did at Potiphar's house? He kept his books. He kept his house. He ran his whole household so well that Potiphar did not even look. He didn't even inspect him. He didn't even audit his books. He trusted Joseph with everything. That was what Joseph just said. If God gives me lemons, I'll make a lemonade factory. I'll rise to the best. I'll be the best I can be. I'll do the best I can. I'll look at it through the eyes of faith. I don't understand, but God's got a reason. If I'm in prison, I'm going to be the best prisoner I can be. I'm going to keep on worshiping God. He never relinquished the dream. The faith. Locked up in prison with the king's butler and his baker. They come running to Joseph because they had dreams that they couldn't interpret. They wanted their dreams interpreted. And Joseph could have said, I don't care about you guys. I'm not even supposed to be here. One of you going to go back working for the king. You're not even going to remember me. One of you going to get killed. I'm not even going to tell you which one's which. You know, he could have done that. I'm not even, because you're not even going to remember me anyway, you know. He knew all that. But he just tried to be a blessing. They told him their dreams, and he said, I hate to tell you this, but you're going to die. You better get right, you know. You're going to get restored. Would you just remember me when you get to, when you're bringing the king his cup, remember me. I'm from my father's house and I was brought here wrongfully. Would you just tell my story to the king? And the butler doesn't even remember Joseph. But we never see Joseph angry or bitter. When Pharaoh calls for his dream to be interpreted and the butler says, I remember a man. We don't see Joseph say, I'm not going to interpret your dream. I know, but I'm not going to tell. He just does the best he can. Folks, I got to tell you right now, in this moment that we are living, the church, we can either shine and show the love of God, or we can show bitterness. So many people, and some of y'all even here maybe, shaking your fist on social media at the world and the White House and the president, and you're angry at this and you're angry at that. God love you. I'm angry at some of the same things you are. But folks, we're not called here as citizens of this country first. We're called here as citizens of heaven first. At the end of the day, I'm not trying to win. In fact, I will tell you this. You will not win one person over to your way of view. on Facebook or Twitter or any other social media platform. Nobody's changed their mind because you got on there venting. You're wasting your time. Brother Barrow is going to preach a message. He shared with me that God showed him something here recently, and he's going to preach it real soon. I'm not going to preach it right now. I wish I could, but it's so good. I'm going to let you preach it because it's your sermon. But if we're not careful, we are killing our opportunity to be effective in this world, the winning souls. Because they don't look at you and say, oh, there's a good Christian. There's a good man of God. There's a good woman of God. They really love me. They look at you and say, oh, they're really angry. They're really angry. They're really hateful. Rise above it. Rise above it or you're going to get bitter. Rise above it or you're always going to be a victim. When God wants you to be a victor, what do you see? Lemons? Nah. Stupid lemons. That's the way some of us are. Typing it up. Making up memes. Showing memes. Sharing memes. Stupid lemons. I hate lemons. Well, calm down. Get you a good knife. Cut the ends off. Roll them up. Get them good and soft. Start squeezing. It's good for stress relief. Huh? That juice that's inside those lemons makes some good stuff. Or you can just kick lemons the rest of your life. Right. Stupid jawbone of a donkey. Poof. I need a weapon. You just kicked your weapon down the road. Right. Stupid slingshot. I'm going to throw it in the water. No, you got to go down to the water and get some stones for ammo. You just threw your weapon away. Stupid prison. I hate this prison. Hate this for kicking the bars. Got the little tin cup out clanking on the bar. Hate being a prisoner. Hate prison. You're wasting your witness. I can't wait till you preach that. I want to hear it. Are you about ready?
Sure.
Come on. Everybody, sit back down. Let's stand. Oh, I've helped some of you. I've hurt some of you, but I've helped some of you. You know what? Even when you get hurt, if you just let it calm down a little bit. Amen? You ever get a shot and it hurts afterwards? Ugh. Just wait, it'll go away, and you'll be helped. Amen. I opened with it, let me close with it. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. Praise and honor and glory. Say it with me. Praise and honor and glory. One more time. Praise and honor and glory. You make lemonade out of that. At the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you still love. In whom, though now you don't see him, yet believing, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. You should underline that in your Bible, end of your faith. And underline the salvation of your souls. You know what? That's what God's after. And that's what we're after. We're after the same thing. The salvation of our soul. The salvation of your soul. The salvation of your soul. I know you've gone through some stuff, but God wants the salvation of your soul. I know you're dealing with some things, but God wants the salvation of your soul. I know you're going through some trials, but God wants the salvation of your soul. Everything. So pick up the lemons and cut off the ends and squeeze them real good and make some lemonade. Pretty soon you'll be running Potiphar's house. Pretty soon you'll be running the prison. Pretty soon you'll be getting that diadem. The fruition, the realization of everything God has promised you. is coming. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Oh, won't that be a day? Hallelujah. We're going to sing. We're going to give you a chance to pray today. Altar's open. Pray where you are. Pray up around the front. Whatever you want to do. God bless you today. Let's have a little time with the Lord, shall we?
This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. How I fight my battles. This is 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 how I fight my battles.
I worship you, Lord.
This is how I fight my battles.
Have his way right now.
By you. It may look like is how I fight my battles. This 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 is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I fight my battles.
Now give him a shout of praise in this place. I'm going to give the Lord a shout of praise. There's victory in your shout. Oh, give him a shout of triumph. Oh, I'm victorious. I'm a victor and not a victim. I'm going to get better and not bitter. In the name of Jesus, I claim it right now over your life. I pronounce life over you. I pronounce victory in your life. I claim it in the name of Jesus Christ. Go ahead and give him praise for it. Go ahead and give him worship for it. In the name of Jesus. Victorious. We are more than conquerors. There is no weapon formed against us that shall be made to prosper. You believe it, say amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Didn't we have a time here Wednesday night? Aren't you glad to be back? Right? You're Group B. Yes. I'm saying that as a statement and a question. You're Group B. Yes. It's hard to keep everybody straight. I'm here every time, so I lose track. This Wednesday night, A group will be here at 7:30. Looking forward to that. I will not be here. My wife and I are going out of town and going to get away for just a couple of days. Brother Worthen will be preaching. Brother Gunderman will be leading the service. We're going to have a great time here Wednesday night. We'll be watching and looking on the live stream. Aren't you thankful for live stream? Grant, where you at, buddy? Can he come back in? Come on up here, Grant. We have his baptismal certificate. We baptized him back on the 31st. Brother Pace did. Brother Pace is not here. Brother Pace is recovering from he had a heart ablation done a few days ago, and he's doing okay, but he's still a little tired and sore. We're praying for him. But we want to give Grant his baptismal certificate. Aren't we glad for Grant? And start here. Let's start on this side right here today. We're going to let you be dismissed. If you want to go, you are free to go. We say God bless you. Be careful out there. Aren't you glad it's warmed up to is it the 30s now out there? Yeah, it's a heat wave. Praise God.